Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Megillah Daf Tesvav. We are holding right on top, but it's really a continuation of yesterday, where we had a pasuk with a list of Shmoina Nevi'im, eight Nevi'im, Neriah, Baruch, Sroya, Machasya, Yirmiah, Chalkiah, etc. Says the more Bishlami Inu Mefarshi. You see, in that pasuk we have some sons and their fathers. For instance, Yirmiah ben Chalkiah. So we have Yirmiah the son, who is a known Navi. We have his father Chalkiah mentioned as well. Bishlami Inu Mefarshi. It's clear that these sons were Nevi'im. We have Nevi'us in their name, recorded in the Nevi'im. Ela Avosayu Minolan. What about their fathers? How do we know that their fathers as well were considered Nevi'im? As Ula tells us, Amar Ula, Kol Mokem Sheshmoi, V'Shem Aviv B'Nevi'is. Whenever we have the Pasuk mention a Navi with his father as well, Yirmiah ben Chilkiah, why mention his father? Says the Marsha, he's a well-known person, a Navi. Certainly, you don't have to identify him. Yirmiah ben Chalkiah. There's a message here. The pasuk is telling you, be a dua. Shu Navi ben Navi. It should be known that he is a Navi as well as his father. So he's a Navi, the son of a Navi. Shmoi v'lo shem aviv. Whenever the name of the Navi is mentioned without his father, be a dua, let it be known, Shu Navi v'lo ben Navi. Then we know that he is a Navi, but not his father. Whenever we have Shmoi Vishem Irem Mefurash, the pasuk tells you, this Navi coming from this and this town, Biyodua Shehu Moisa Ir. This indicates that he indeed is a resident of that city. What about Shmoi Veloishem Irei? His name, but there's no city attached to it. So, where does he live? Biyodua Shehu Mirshalayim. Then, we have an indication that he comes from Yerushalayim, explains the Marashah, it's the Makim of Ashuas Ashchina. Apparently, that's where he comes from. And that was conducive for Nevi'us. B'mas Nisatana, the Braisa adds like this. On a similar note, we have many names mentioned in Chazal, mentioned in Tanakh. Kol Shemasav, Umasa Avosav Stumun. Suppose we have individuals in Tanakh. We're not sure what they're all about. Are they tzaddikim? Are they not? Upart l'cha kosov be'echad mehenu shvach. And we see that Torah, the pasuk, describes one of them to be l'shvach in a praiseworthy context. Kigoin dvar Hashem asher oya el Tzfanya ben Kushi ben Gedalia. We have three names: Tzfanya, son of Kushi, son of Gedalia. What are they about? Are they tzaddikim? Are they not? And we know that Tzfanya was a righteous man. He was a tzaddik. Biyaduah shu tzaddik ben tzaddik. Then you know that it carried over from generation to generation. Also, the pasuk relates him to his father, to his grandfather. They're all on the same track. They're all tzaddikim. So we have many names. He's the son of him, the son of him. And on one of them we know that he's described to be a tzaddik, then they're all tzaddik. The same way, l'ra, v'kol sh'parat l'cha kasa b'echad hen l'gnai. On the other hand, the Torah describes one of them to be l'gnai, in an inferior light. Kigoyin v'hi b'chedesh ha'shvi bo yishmol ben esanyo ben el yishama. This fellow Yishmoel, who actually killed Gedaliah ben Achikam. And the pasuk describes him with his father, with his grandfather. What are they all about? Once we know that one of them was a Rasha, Biyodua Shehu Rasha ben Rasha, pasuk is indicating that it's all in the family. Just as he is a known Rasha, likewise his father, etc. Amar of Nachman, while on the topic of names of Nevi'im, who is Malachi? We know about Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. Who exactly is he? Malachi is a Mordechai. Malachi and Mordechai, it's all one and the same. Why then was he called Malachi, if his name is Mordechai? Malachi was the descriptive term. Shehaya Mishnah LeMelech. He was second to the king. Malachi is the Lashon of Malchus. Meisvei. Elkashimar Bryce. Baruch Ben Eriya. Ustroya Ben Maasya. V'Daniel. U'Mordechai Belshon. V'Chagai Zechariah U'Malachi. All these Nevi'im. Kulan Nisnabu B'Shnas Shtayim L'Dayavish. They all expressed their Nevuah at year 2 of Daryavish, that it's time to come back and build the Beis HaMikdash, which has been initiated during the earlier time, the first Daryavish, Kairish, and then was suspended for 18 years. It's time to come back and get to work again. It's clear that Malachi is not Mordechai. Bryce clearly lists Mordechai Bilshon separate from Malachi. Tiyufta, indeed, this is a kasha, a refutation of Rav Nachman's opinion. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Shuman Karcha, Malachi Zer Ezra. Okay, Malachi is not Mordechai, but he's Ezra. Ezra HaSefer. It's one and the same person. That's the second shita. No, Malachi Shemoi. Malachi is Malachi, and that's it. Omer Rav Nachman Mestavro, Kiman de Omer Malachi Zer Ezra. Seems to be that opinion, Malachi is Ezra, is the correct opinion. Why? Because we see that both Malachi and Ezra were involved in the same topic. They were concerned with the same concerns. The Chassid ben Neviyus Malachi, we find by Malachi, Bogda Yehuda, V'se'eva Nesa B'Yisrael, B'Yishalayim, Kichilei Yehuda, Kodesh Hashem, Asher Ohev, U'Baal Bas El Nechar. So the Pasuk is criticizing Yisrael from marrying. Uman afresh noshen machrius. And throughout history, who was involved? Who else was involved in separating the Yisrael from the foreign women? It was Ezra. When he came back to Yisrael and he sees what's going on, Chesiv Vayan Shechanya Benichel Mibnei Elam Vayimer Ezra. Anachnu Ma'alnu Belekenu. We sinned. Vanoishiv noshen machrius Ma'ame Aretz. And he went and separated them, terminated their marriage. So the fact that Ezra was involved in this inyan, is indicative of the fact that he and Malachi all one the same person. Because we find by Malachi as well. He was concerned about this issue, about intermarriage. Tanu Rabban, Arba Noshim Yefeifiyos Hayu Ba'olam. There were four women who had exceeding yefi. Sarah, Rachel, Abigail, and Esther. Ulman Dama Esther Yirak Rekes Haisa. But according to that shita, that Esther was called Hadassah because she had that greenish complexion to her. So she didn't have that excessive yefi. So we take her off the list. Mapik Esther, Umayel Vashti. We take off Esther and replace it with Vashti. Turn Rabban. Rachav, this was Rachav Hazoina, Bishma Zinsa, just by mentioning her name, a person gets aroused. Yoel, Bekoila, hearing her voice. Avigail Bizchiras, recalling her, arouses a person. Michal Basho Biriasa, by looking at her. Or Rabbi Yitzchak, in fact, Kalo Ema Rachav, Rachav Miad Nikri, just mentioning Rachav's name repeatedly brings a person to Tumas Kari. Amalei Rav Nachman, Ano Amina Rachav Rachav, Ola Ichbasli. I say it many times, doesn't have any effect on me. Amalei. Rabbi Yitzchak responds, Ki Kamina, I meant Biyoido Makira, one who knows her personally. Then, mentioning her name has negative results. The Pasuk says, Mordechai yoda, eis kol asher nasa. Mordechai found out about the gzira, and the Pasuk continues. Vayetzei b'seicheir, vayizak zaok g'doy l'umar. He went out and he cried out and he called out. What was he saying? My Omar. Rav Omar, gava homon me'achashverish. Look, homon rose above achashverish. Even Achashverosh didn't have this in mind. Haman prevailed. He's carrying the day. He's riding high. Look, he made a gzera to kill the Jews. Something even Achashverosh had no plans on doing. Ushmol Amar, Gavar Malka Ilah, the heavenly Malchus in Shemayim, surpassed, overpowered, Mi Malka Tato, the lower Malchus. Rashi says, it's a kinoi, it's a euphemism. What he really meant to say is that look, the Malchus down here, Achashverosh, is taking the reins. Appears to be in control. Esther found out, but the Schalchal HaMalka, she was gripped by some sort of condition, but eschalchal. My bat eschalchal, what is that? Amrav, she person either, she became an either due to this frightening experience. She had to tend to her needs. Okay, so she called a messenger over, go out and see what's going on with Mordechai. Why is he so sad? Who is Hasach? Amrav Hasach, said Daniel. It's actually Daniel, who was the sort of chief of staff in the palace for many years. Why then was he called Hasach instead of his real name Daniel? Because he lost his power. They cut off his power, meaning he was lowered, he was downgraded, he was demoted. Mefarshim explained based on the Gemara Baba Basra, because there was an einish that he helped Nebuchadnezzar, gave him advice, not meant to give Andrew advice, and he lost his prestige, lost his power. Ushmul Amar, no, he didn't lose his power. Shekol Dibri Malchus, Nechtochen Al Piv, all the going-ons in the palace were dictated by him. He was the chief of staff. So she sends a message to Mordechai, Ladas Maziv Al Maziv. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Sholcholoi. She relayed to him a message as follows. Shema Avru Yisrael Al Chamishichum Sheter. Perhaps the Gzera is a result of the fact that Klal Yisrael abandoned the Torah. Tichsiv Behen. We find by the Torah, by the Luchis, Mizeh O Mizehim Ksuvim, written on both sides. That was the Nes. You can see the letters on all sides. And the Samach and the Mem was hanging, right? So that was Mazev al Mazev. Perhaps they transgressed Avru on the Torah. Ve'agidul Mordechai Estivrei Esther. So Mordechai suggested, she goes into the king and tries to save the day. Esther responds, well, it's not proper. It's not proper procedure. So she hesitated. So they came back to tell Mordechai this message. Ve'agidu, they came back. What happened to Daniel, the messenger, who was sent to speak to Esther? Why don't he go back to Mordechai and tell him directly? Daniel himself, who was sent on this mission, he didn't go back to Mordechai to tell him he failed in his mission. Mikan, we learn from here. It's inappropriate. She'ein meshivin al kalkala. You're not meant to respond that you failed in your mission. It's degrading to the sender. Look, you sent me to do something, failed. So instead, he had somebody else come back to Mordechai and tell him what's going on. Esther responds, go and make a atzeres tefillah. Leich knois eskal yudim. Gather all the Jews. And then, I'm going to go into the king, ashaloi kedas. So we have a whole pasuk. Ad is not a part of the pasuk. It's just, we read all the way to ashaloi kedas. Meaning, it was a message. Make a gathering, make a tefillah, and then with that tzchus, I will go ahead, enter the king's inner chambers. Ashaloi kedas. What does that mean? What was she trying to say? She was referring to the das of Torah. Omer be'abo. Shaloi kedas. Hoya. Now halacha is going to change on me. Shebechol yom v'yom ad achshav. Every day until today, when I interacted with Achashverosh, it was unwillingly. It was ba'inus. I was forced to do so. V'achshav baratzi, now I'm going in willingly. What happens now? Halacha changes. V'chasher avanti avanti. A double loss I'm going to have. K'shem she'avati beis abba. Just as I was lost from my parents, I was an orphan. Kach ayuvad mimcha, I'm going to lose you as well. Why? Because now she becomes usher to live with Mordechai. Once she interacts with Achashverosh, berotzen and willingly. Now the truth is, the Marit writes, Marik, that it was mutter to do it, Hatzolas Yisrael, but when it comes to continuing as married with her husband, that's awesome. Once she interacts with somebody else. So she was willing to be Meisa Nefesh, give up her whole life with Mordechai to save Kol Yisrael. Vayav Mordechai. Mordechai passed over. What does that mean? Omar Rav Shehever Yemishin Shal Pesach Betanis. He established a 3-day fast period, starting from Yudalad, Tesvav, and Tezayin. The Gzera went out in Yugimel Nisan. So he fasted on Pesach itself. He passed over Pesach fasting. Ushmol Amar, Vayavar means the Avar, he passed over Arkuma de Maya, a puddle, some sort of body of water, to go gather the Jews, to bring him to David. Now, what's the importance of mentioning this? What's the significance of him jumping over a puddle of water? Says the Manas Halevi, a beautiful word. This was a major event. Gathering together, davening, fasting for 3 days. No, the Pasuk mentions the fact that he made that extra effort, jumped over a puddle to put it together, to get it going. Hashem doesn't ignore anything. Every little ishtalus, every little effort counts and is rewarded. It's a beautiful story I once heard. The Rebbetzin of the Vilna Gaon, her and a friend used to do this weekly collection for tzedakah. Once they're walking down the street, and the Vilna Gaon's Rebbetzin notices a potential donor ahead, in the distance. She points to her and she says to her friend, "Why don't we approach that person? We'll get some tzedakah for our inyan." "Sure, no problem." So they approach that person, they got some tzedakah, and they continue on their way. When these two women, who were friends, were advanced in age, they struck a deal. Whichever one of them will pass away first will come back to her friend in a dream to describe what's going on in Olam HaEmes. That was their deal. The Vilna Gaon's Rebbetzin passes away first, and she comes back as promised. She visits her friend in a dream. She says as follows, "Look, now that I'm up here, I realize I'm told I can't. You're not allowed to say over. I can't describe to you what's happening in Gan Eden. It's a different realm. It's beyond your understanding. I'm not allowed to discuss it. But I can tell you one thing. Every little thing counts. In fact, you remember that time we were walking down the street and I picked up my finger to point at a potential donor. We were both collecting together. We both approached that person together. But I was the one who picked up my finger first and pointed out that person in the distance. Remember that story? Well, I want you to know, we both got schar for our mitzvah. But the amount of schar that I received is immeasurably greater, way more than what you will receive because of that little move, that little effort, picking up that finger. Every masa, every little effort, every little picking up of a finger for the sake of Hashem is accounted for, is recorded and rewarded eternally. So remember that. Every little thing counts. Vayavar, Mordechai, he jumped over a puddle. He got tzchar for that. Hishtadlus for a mitzvah. Vayimay mashlishi. So comes the third day, and Rashi actually brings later, the third day is not the third day of the Tanis, it was the third day since the Gzera. So Gimel Yudal and Tesvav. It was time for Esther to go make her hishtadlus. Why the third day? Stasis brings B'schus Toyer Nevim Uksuvim Koyhanim Levim Yisraelim Moshe V'Aaron and Miriam. Matan Torah was in the third month, so three has extra special significance by us. Day three was an opportunity. V'tilbasht Esther Malchus. She got dressed with Malchus. Big day Malchus. Mibayli. Pasuk should say royal garb, royal clothing. Why? V'tilbasht Malchus. Amar Blazar, Amar Chanina. We had this yesterday. Melamed shalav shasa ruach hakodesh. Ruach hakodesh rested on her. A tilbash sometimes refers to a spirit. Ksevacha vatilbash. We have the word vatilbash here. Uksev hasam ruach lav shasa masai. A masai was taken by a spirit. So you see, levisha can relate to a spirit. Vamar balazar. Amar chanin. Lo'olam al tehi birchas hedyot kalabeinecha. How does this come here? Because It's a lesson from the same Ada Omer, Reb Lezer and Chanina. We're going to have a few more coming up soon. He says, look, be careful. La'olam, al tehi birchas hedyot kal beinecha. If a commoner, a simple person, gives you a bracha, don't take it lightly. Sharei, shnei gdoi lehador. There were two great people, berachim shnei adyotis, who were blessed by two simple people. V'neskame bahen, and those brachas were fulfilled. Don't underestimate the power of a brach. Elohein, who are these two people? David HaMelech, with Daniel. David the Barche Arvano. David was trying to stop the Magefa, which was triggered by his counting Yisrael without a medium, without, you know, Machzah Shekel, and he quickly went to purchase that plot of land from Arvana, which was a future site for the Beis HaMikdash. And Arvana gave him a bracha. You should be successful. The chsiv Vayemer Arvana al-Melech tells him that Hashem should listen to you and you should be successful. And indeed, that's what happened. The Magefa stopped. By Daniel, we have the Barche Daryavish. Daryavish took a liking to him and he gave him a bracha. You should be safe from the lions. That's what happened. The chsiv Elohach de'ant plachle betadira. Your God that you pray to on a regular basis, he should save you. And he was saved. On the flip side, v'amar b'lazo, amar b'chanina, al tikilas hedit kalabei necha. A klala, a curse, even from a common person, from a simple man, a hedit, is not to be taken lightly. How do we know? Sharei avi melech. Kilal is sara. Melech was all upset. The sara concealed her identity. And they gave her a klala. Hinei hulach ksusei naim, because you concealed your identity. You didn't tell me you were a married woman. You should have ksusei naim, blindness. Niskayim bazar. And indeed, it was applied to her children. When Yitzchak was advanced in age, he had a hard time seeing, so the klala was in skayim. Boy, Ray, come take a look. Hashem's modus operandi is so different than the way we conduct ourselves. Midas basar adam, by human being, we have adam shefes keder. First you position the pot, and only afterwards you fill it up. It's in the reverse. First he adds the water and then the pot. As the pasuk says, first Hashem positions the water in Shemaim and then he gets the clouds to contain the water. Perhaps the point is that by Hashem, he's the mashpia. He gives the content, the bracha, but in order for us to receive it, we have to have the kli, the vessel, so that we can relate to it. Right? So Hashem is the source of all bracha. The flow comes from Him. Where comes the mayim? Unlimited, unhindered. In order for us to appreciate and to receive it on our level, we need a kli, we need a vessel to sort of contain the bracha, to spoon feed it to us on our level. So first comes the water and then the kli. V'amar b'lazer, amar b'chanina. Kol ha'ima davar b'shem omri. If one is careful to give credit when credit's due, he says over something important, a dvar Torah, something that has significance, and he relates it back to its source. I heard it from so and so. He's ha'ima davar b'shem omri, mevi gula la'ilam. He brings about geula. How do we know? Shenemar. When she conveyed that information about Bixam Veserish's plot against Achashverosh, she related it back to Mordechai. She gave him the credit. And look what happened. We had Geula. Mefarshim explained, specifically when it comes to Torah, every person has his chilek in Torah. In fact, the Medrash says, Kol ma she Talmud vasuk asad l'chadish was already given to Moshe Rabbeinu b'Sinai. But we have to uncover, discover our chelek in Torah. That's why we find so many names in Shas. A big percentage of the Gemara involves itself with names. Lots of names because it's your chelek in Torah. It's your neshama. When a person discovers his chelek in Torah and conveys it to others and they relate it back to him, it's attributed to its owner, to its source. By doing so, it's not just the Torah that's being learned. It's related to its source and it's your personal chelek in Torah that gets conveyed and related and publicized. So that's the point of connecting to the source. And ultimately, when everybody's chelek in Torah gets revealed and discovered, the gula comes about. So maybe gula loyla. Chaim Kanievsky writes that stavka when it's something important, something that has chashivas, it's not every little fact that you happen to hear from somebody you have to relate to him. Something that has chashivas, like Torah, like Dvar Chachma, or in this case, as we find, to give credit to Mordechai for discovering the plot that chesed with Achashverosh. This is another point that the Taz actually brings. It's rooted in anava, humility. Don't take credit for yourself. If it's somebody else's, give him the credit. So this would perhaps relate to you know, the stipler, Chaim Kanevsky's father, he once gave a shiur and he quoted a Birkei Yosef, and then he was in distress afterwards. And he got up again. He says, "By the way, it's not like I knew all the Birkei Yosefs. I happened to find it in a Gilyon Hashat. Rekiv Eger brings it." So over there, it didn't seem like it was a question of B'Shem Oimer. He was quoting a Birkei Yosef. He was attributing it to the source. He was giving credit to the Makar, but it could have been understood that he was fluent, he was Baki in all the Birkei Yosef. He wanted to dispel that impression. So he says, "I saw it in that Sefer." Rekiv Eger brings it down. So that's a whole different concept of just not taking credit, not being a Baal Gava. That's also something that's praiseworthy. Another lesson from the same Adam. Tzadik Avad. When a Tzadik passes away, the Dori Avad. The Dor generation suffers. He's okay, he's in Gan Eden. But we are the ones that experience the loss. Mashal, it's a mashal la Adam Sh'avdalai Margolis. A person loses a precious stone. It doesn't affect the stone. Kamakim Shehi. Wherever that stone happens to be present, Margolis Shma. It's still the same Margolis. Retains its value. Well, of the Elabal, who experiences loss? Its owner. V'cholze enenu shevili. Mordechai sees Haman doesn't bow to him. Haman gets all enraged. He says, "If so, I have nothing." V'cholze enenu shevili. All this power, all this fame and fortune is not worth anything. Amar b'lazer, amar b'chanina. Why is he expressing himself in that extreme way? You know why? There was good reason. Amar, when he sees Mordechai standing there, he says, "You know what? I have nothing." Why? Rashi says, "Buli is lashon esher, wealth." Mordechai had a claim of wealth over Haman. We'll see in a minute what this means. As opposed to Haman, who came along with his claim, proves booty. Booty is the lashon of oini. So Haman was an oni compared to Mordechai. Didn't appear so, but in reality, Mordechai was Haman's master, who was a slave to Mordechai. Amar Papa Bekorli Avdo, they would call Haman a slave, the Mizdaven, who sold himself Betami for exchange for loaves of bread. So the Malkut Shemayin explains the background to this Gemara. It so happens that Ahasuerus, at some point in time, gave some funds to Mordechai and Haman, who were battalion heads in his army. He told them, "Take your battalions and go conquer the city." And each one had funds to pay his soldiers. Of course, Haman squandered his money. At the end of the day, he had nothing to pay his soldiers. He came running to Mordechai. He says, "Could you lend me some money? Could you give me something for my soldiers?" "Sure," says Mordechai. Sell me yourself as a slave." And he agreed. He sold himself as a slave to Mordechai in exchange for the bread, for the food to feed his army. So in reality, Haman was merely an eved to Mordechai. So whenever Haman sees Mordechai, he felt inferior. He says, "Nothing, I have nothing. Because I'm an Eved." Halacha is that whatever the Eved acquires belongs to the master. All this is worth nothing. What is the word "ze" referring to? All his wealth and his fortunes engraved on his heart. Farshan explained that he had a precious stone hanging over his heart on which we had some description of his wealth, and he was pointing to that. All this is worth nothing. When he would notice Mordechai, Omar he'd say, "Kol ze einenu shevili." Omar b'lezer, Omar b'chanin. Another lesson from the same Adamer. Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the future, Hashem will be liyos atora b'reish kol tzadik v'tzadik. Hashem will form a crown on the head of a tzadik. He will rest his shechina on the tzadik. Shenemar b'yema hu, yi Hashem tzvokes lateres tzvi. My lateres tzvi. Ulatzfiras tifara. So the pasuk reads as follows: Bayimahu, Here, Hashem Tzvokas, Lateras Tzvi, Letzfiras Tifora, Lishor Amoi, and the next pasuk is Uluruach Mishpat, Layeshev Ala Mishpat, Viligvura Mishivei Melchama Shara, followed by the next pasuk, Vigam Ela Vayain Shagu, Ubashechar To, Kayim Venabu Shagu Bashecha, Nivilu Minayain To, Nashecha Shagu, Broya, Po, Poku Pililia. The Gemara will go through these psukim, that's why I just ran through it quickly. So we start with Hashem presenting as a atara, as a crown, resting his shechina on who? On the tzaddikim. La teras tzvi, le tzfiras tifara, le shor ame. Explains the Gemara. What is my la teras tzvi, le tzfiras tifara? Only to the tzaddikim. Lo isin tzivyoni, those who fulfill Hashem's tzivyoni, his will, lo matzapin tifarata, you anticipate Hashem's beauty in Hashem's shechina. Perhaps this applies to everybody, any tzaddik who engaged in positive behavior. No. We need another quality to deserve this. Hashras Hashkhanatam Lema Lishor Amay, which means she'eris, remnants, leftovers. Only those who are humble, who are nava, will appreciate it, will experience this. Limisha Meitzim Atzmik Shiraim. Somebody doesn't consider himself valuable. He's just a remnant, just a leftover. So anova is a prerequisite, precondition for Ashras Hashchan. The next pasuk, Ulurach Mishpat. Tomorrow we'll go through word by word. Who's going to be deserving of this schar? This is Hadonas Yitzra. He's involved in judging, in forcing his Yetzahara to come and do Tshuva. Pasuk says, Ulu Yeshev Al Mishpat. Who's that? Zehadon Din Emes Lamite. One who's engaged in proper Mishpat. A dayan who conducts his dinei Torah with integrity. Tosfos points out, emes lamita means with the truth of really truth, which means beyond the superficial truth. You can have edim that perhaps you can, you know, if you really have experience and expertise, you can see right through it. Sure, they're testifying and everything looks good, but you see it's a din meruma, says Taisus. It's a setup. Dayan has to look beyond the surface. That's done din emes la'amita and come up with the truth. The pasuk continues, v'legvura, who's that? Zeham is gavra al Yisrael, who overpowers the Yetzirah. The pasuk says, m'shivim l'cham eshara. What does that mean? Shenoysin v'noysin v'mochamta shal Torah. Those who are engaged in the debating of Torah. The pasuk says, shara. Who's that? Ilu tamid chachamim shemashkimin umariven bebatim hasiyus bebatim medrashis. Shara, those who open and close those gates, they're there early, they stay late in the Beis HaMedrash, Beis HaKnesses. So these will be zeicha to the immense schar, the atara of Hashem. Amra midas hadin fina kadosh baruch hu. So the midas hadin complains to Hashem. Ribbono shel olam, why only the Jews? Manishtanu ilu me'ilu, manishtanu. Why are the Jews different than the goyim? There's some fine, upstanding goyim who have fine character traits. Why is this schar only given to the Yidden? Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael Osku B'Torah, Umas Olam LaOsku B'Torah. Difference is Torah. We are engaged in Torah, goyim are not. And even if you find fine goyim, it's not the same than Yisrael, whose fine character traits are spiritual in essence. It's based on the Torah value. And therefore, they're truly deserving of schar. Amar Lei, so the Misa didn't responded. Gam elu b'yayin shogu. You know, if so, if it's dependent on limud haTorah, I understand why, even amongst Yisrael, unfortunately, there are those who are not engaged in Torah. They ignore Torah. Instead, they're busy with wine. Gam elu b'yayin shogu b'shechar to. And indeed, they won't be deserving of the schar. They will have to go to Gehenna for a cleansing process. Poku Pelilya. So poku means they'll have a downfall, Pelilya, as a result of this judgment against them. Ain't poku al Gehenna. Poku is referring to Gehenna. Shenem alesia zois l'chole. We had this yesterday. So don't allow this to be your downfall, the reason for Einish and Gehenna. So poku pukos is referring to the Einish of Gehenna. And the word plilia, vein plilia al dayanim, referring to dayanim, v'shneva v'nosin b'flilim, judgment, they will be judged to experience, they have to go through the Gehenna process. Okay, back to the Megillah. V'atamoid b'chatzar b'samalach ha'pnimis. Esther positions herself in the inner chambers of King Achashverosh. Omer Blevi, Kibbe Shigibbe Satzlamen. Once she got to the inner Chatzar, which was the base Satzlamen, he's up at the Zara headquarters. In the Stalko, Himen Ashkin, she loses the Shkin. Omer, she calls out in agony, Eli, Eli, Lama Zaftani, Hashem, why did you abandon me? What did I do wrong? Shema Tadon al Shagi Kimezit. Are you going to consider the fact that I entered the base of the Zara B'Shoigig? Unwillingly, unknowingly. I'm just compelled to do it. You're treating it like a mazit? Like deliberate? Well, in this Kerotzen, the fact that I have to, unfortunately, engage Achashverosh now as married B'Oinus. But it's B'Oinus, it's not something which I'm happy with. I'm doing it to save Klal Yisrael. You're treating it like a Rotzen, like it was done willingly? Interesting. Marik points out, L'chayr, we have a stira. Here we call it Einus. And just a couple of minutes ago, Esther says, I lost you, Mordechai. I'm going to lose you. Because going forward, I'm going to be engaged with Achashverosh B'Rotzen. That makes me lose my husband. So is it Rotzen? Or is it Einus? Says the Marik, a wonderful pshat. He says, there are two aspects to this. And Mitzad Esther, of course it was Mutter. It was a mitzvah to save Klal Yisrael. She has to do anything. Even to engage Achashverosh B'Rotzen. It was Mutter. It's not considered Navir. That's as far as she's concerned. As far as her personal Masa. But as far as her husband, it's considered straying. Pasuk says, Isha Kisimol Mal. She strays from her husband. That's considered having strayed. Unless it was truly, factually, circumstantially, be'oinus, against her will, mamish. Otherwise, she would be usher on her husband. So over there we're speaking from the marriage, Mordechai's perspective. It's considered Ratzah, which makes her usher. Here we're speaking with Sad Esther Malka's perspective. Sad Isser Beheter. In that context, of course, it's Mutter. So why is it that you abandon me, Hashem? Because I'm engaged in these things? Or perhaps Shemal Shakaros of Kelev, because I refer to him like a dog, which is inappropriate. The fact is, a king, any king, even a non-Jewish king, is appointed by Hashem. I shouldn't refer to him with this degrading title like a Kelev. Shnemar Hatzilo Mecherev Nafshi. This is in Capital 22. Hatzilo Mecherev Nafshi. Yad Kelev Bichidasi. Save me from the Kelev. Okay, Chosrev Karasoi Ari. She renamed him a lion. Shnemar Hoshieni Mipi Ari. So what happened next? When Achashverosh notices Esther, Amar B'Yechanan, Gimel Malach Asheris Nizdamnala, Bois Asha. Three Malachim came to help her. Echad Sheikbiyas Tzavar, one lifted her neck that he sees her. Ve'echad Shemashach Chutzal Chesed Aleh, the other one applied Chutzal Chesed, she should find favor in his eyes. Ve'echad Shematach Asharvit, the third Malach came and sort of extended the scepter so that it reaches Esther. Ve'kama. How much was it extended? Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, shtei amas haya. Initially, it was merely 2 amas long. Ve'emidoi, alo shtei mesrei. And the Malach came and extended it to 12. Ve'amila al shesh esrei, up to 16. Ve'amila al esrei ma'arba, to 24. Masnisa tana, the brisa we have al shisha, turned it into a 60 amas long scepter. Ve'chena tamoitzi ba'amosa shabas para. Same concept of extension. By nes, we find by the arm of Basya, Bas Parit. She notices Moshe floating in the water beyond her reach. She doesn't hesitate. Picks up her hands, reaches out, and Hashem made her nes. She was able to reach Moshe's cradle. The Bala Musa point out, big chizuk to a person. Sometimes things appear beyond our reach, and they really are. Al Pidera Chateva. A person must do what he can do. Make that effort. Take that step. Hashem can extend your arm. What you think is really beyond your reach can really be within your grip. This concept of extension we find by the teeth of Rishayim. So Igmel Chabashan. Tichsiv Shini Rishayim Shibarti. He broke the teeth of the Rishayim. But Rish Lakish, Atukri Shibarti. Instead of Shibarti, you broke. Ela Sherivavta. You extended. Rashi brings, go on, brachis. Igmel Chaboshan, lifted a big mountain in order to throw it on Klal Yisrael and kill them. Hashem had a nace. Well, ants came along, bore a hole right through the middle of the mountain and sunk down through his head on his shoulders. He tried to lift it to get it off his shoulders. Suddenly his teeth grew out and protruded into the mountain, and he couldn't get it out. It was stuck now. And that's how he met his end. Rabbi Bar Ufran, Omar Meshurim Belezer, quoted Rabbi Belezer, Sheshama mi Rabbi, heard from his Rabbi, Virabbi mi Rabbi, his Rabbi from his, Masayim. The Shaibet, the scepter, became 200 amas long. Vayimul HaMelech LeEster HaMalka, Ma Bakash Oseich, Ad Chatzi HaMalchus V'Teos. Esther offers, Hashverosh offers her, Ad Chatzi HaMalchus, what do you want? For any Bakash, until half of the Malchus. What does this mean? Chatzi HaMalchus, like Kol HaMalchus, half, not the whole, what does he mean? He meant, V'loy Dovar Shechoytis LaMalchus. I can give you everything, except for one thing, the Beis HaMikdash, which is Choytis, which cuts the Malchus in half. Rashi says, Binyan HaBayis, Beis HaMikdash, which is Be'emtza Shaloylam, right in the middle of the world, center of the world. Gemara Yuma says, Evan Shosia was the first point of creation, from which everything else extended. So that's what he meant. I can give you everything except for reestablishing the Mikdash, which will be a competing entity with my Malchus. Umay Niyu Binyan Beis HaMikdash. She says to Achashverosh, no problem. I'm not going to pressure you on that. I just want one thing. Yovei HaMelech V'Haman Al Mishta. I'll make a party for you and Haman. Tanu Rabbanan. Ma Rasa Esther Shezimna Es Haman. Famous question. Why in the world would Esther invite Haman to the Mishta? We have many reasons. Pachem tamnalei. Pachem is like a stumbling block, a pit, a potential downfall. So she presented him with a potential downfall. Shenemar, yihi shulchanam lefneim lepach. The Russia's table, his meal, creates for him a pitfall. So she wanted to bring him in, perhaps somehow he'll slip, he'll trip, and he'll trip up, he'll do something inappropriate, and she'll be able to get him. Rabbi Shua Amir Beis Avi Alamda is because of something she learned back home. She used to hear the kids saying the pasuk, Shenemar Imroiv Sanacha, Hachileu Lechem. When your enemy's hungry, give him to eat. Buy him off. Bring him to the meal. Get him on your side. Rabbi Amir, the reason was Kadei Shela Yitel Eitz Avi Yimroid. If she leaves Haman out of the loop, perhaps he'll feel threatened. He'll seek advice. He'll make a coup against Achashverosh. So bring him in. Get him involved. Get him on your side. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kadei Shleikir Boshu Yehudis. She did it to conceal her identity. She invited Achashverosh and Haman. That's why nobody entertains the thought that she's Jewish. Rabbi Chemya Omer, the reason why she invited Haman, she courted Haman, was Kadei Shelo Yoimur Yisrael. Yisrael shouldn't say, going forward, they should no longer say, Achos Yesh Lanu Beis HaMelech. Look, we're safe and secure. We have a sister, one of ours, in the palace, taking care of us, looking after us. V'yosichu Datum and Arachmim, which will hinder their motivation from asking Rachman, from davening to Hashem. They'll no longer feel that desperation to daven to Hashem. Therefore, she invited Haman. Look, things aren't so safe and secure. Go ahead and turn to Hashem directly. A beautiful story I once heard from Shimshon Pinkas, who had somebody who begged him. He came to him for a bracha. He says, look, I'm married many years, no kids. What can you do for me? Give me a bracha, daven for me. Rabbi Pinkas says, come. Took him into his car. He lived in Ofakim. Drove him to some desolate place near a forest and says, look, it's the middle of the night. I want you to get out of the car. I'm coming back in an hour. You stand there and you daven to Hashem with your whole heart. I'm coming back in an hour. This fellow didn't know what to do. Gets out of the car. Rabbi Pinchas drives off. And this man, did he start davening? There was nobody there. Just him and Hashem. And he's yelling. He's crying, Hashem. I'm lonely. I need a kid. Crying like he never cried before. Davening with such intensity and such such a genuine, heartfelt tefillah, totally dependent on Hashem, just him and Hashem. Sure enough, he sees headlights pulling up, an hour's up, goes back to the car. Rav Pinchas says, "Nu, how's the davening?" He says, "Gevaldik, daven to Hashem." And he's hoping for some good news. Sure enough, that year he had a baby. So Rav Shimshon Pinchas explains, it wasn't a nes, it wasn't a maifis. This man never davened. He never davened. He dropped him off on the side of the road. He says, "Go ahead. It's just you and Hashem." And when a person really, really davens, from the depths of his heart, really, really thinking that Hashem and only Hashem can help him, he can see a Yeshua. Esther wanted to facilitate that type of tefillah. She made things look insecure. Not really so much on your side. You don't have pull in the king's palace. Turn to Hashem, which indeed achieved results. Rabbi Yossi Omer, the reason why she invited Haman, k'day shehi motzu lo b'chaleis, so that she should be next to him, so that Haman should be around and perhaps she can do something to get him in trouble. As she says, ulai tucha lachshile b'shem dor lefnei ha-melech, somehow she can trip him and get him punished right there. Maybe Hashem will see, look to what extent, look what I have to be mevazel myself, I have to be mezazel, invite Haman. Hashem will have rachmanis and do a nes. Rabbi Shimon Karcho Eimer, as b'lei panim, let me be nice to Haman in front of Achashverosh, which will arouse his jealousy, and maybe he'll kill me and Haman. That's the best thing. Kadesh Yehorig, who be he? Both Haman and Esther will be killed. And Rashi explains, based on the Gemara and Tanis, they had some sort of rule, the Goyim, that if one of theirs dies, one of the ruling group dies, after they make a gzera, they're concerned that perhaps it's a bad siman, they would be mevatel the gzera. So if Haman and Esther die, perhaps that will be the catalyst for bitul hagzera. Rav Gamliel Omer, Melech hafach pachan haya. This Achashverosh fellow was a wishy-washy, inconsistent fellow. Hafachan, turning from side to side, constantly changing his mood. And she figured, look, if I can get him to get upset at Haman, I want him to be right there so he can kill him right then before he changes his mind. She had many reasons. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Adain, if to all these reasons, we still need another reason. Adain, Tzrichan, Anul, Maidoi. We need Rav Lezer, Maidoi's Pshat. Which, according to Rabbi Gamliel, was a good Pshat. The Sandia, Rabbi Lezer, Maidoi, Omer, Kin Osei B'melech, Kin Osei B'sar. The reason why she courted Haman, she gave him covet to arouse kin of jealousy. Achashverosh will not be jealous. Look, Haman is being honored by my own wife. Kin Asay B'sarim, she aroused kin and jealousy amongst the other ministers against Haman. And perhaps this will lead to his demise. Rabba Amar, the reason is as follows. Lefnei Shever, before Hashem breaks the guy, gives an einish to the Rosh guy, and he lifts him, so that it should be more of a drastic fall. So first we give him honor, we invite him, elevate him, and then it facilitates his downfall. Abai Ramad Abit Havai, they both explain as follows. Bechumim Ashes Es Mishteim. This is a pasuk by Baal Shatzar. I arrange their Mishteh when it's very hot, which makes them thirsty. And as a result, they drink lots of wine, which actually happened there by Baal Shatzar. They drank so much wine and they got drunk and eventually they were punished. So, here as well, she brings them to the party. We see that the Mishteh of the Rishon brings them Peronis. Ashkeche Rabba Bar Avo Elyo. So Rabba Avo meets Elyo Anavi. Amarle, he asks him as follows. Look, we have so many reasons. Which one is the real one? You know the real one. Keman Chazya Esther. Which opinion, which reason was really going through Esther's mind, Vavdahachi, when she invited Haman? Which is the real one? Amarle, Elyo responds, they're all right. Kekulu Tanoi, Kekulu Amaroi. Everybody's right. She had all these reasons, all the Tanoim's reasons, all the Amaroim's reasons. Haman came home when Achashverosh gave him that initial kavod, and he told him all about it. By Sabrlem Haman, Eskvoid Ashrei, Verev Bonav, told him about his wealth, about many all his children. V'kama reibon of how many children did he have? Amarav Lamed, total of 30. Asar Meis, so 10 died naturally. V'asar Nitl, 10 were hung. V'asar Mechazron al Pesachim, 10 of them were so poor they had to go around collecting. V'rabon Amri, Oyser Shem Mechazron al Pesachim Shiv Mavi, 7 they had to go collecting. V'chsev Sveim Belechem Nishkoru. Al Tukri Sveim, instead of the word Sveim, satiated El Shivim, he had 70. He had to go collecting for bread. V'rami Bar Abba Omar, Kulon Masai Mishmona Havu. He had a total of 208. Shnei Veroiv Banav, that's the Gematria. Veroiv? What do you mean? The Gematria, Moson Var Beis Havu. Veroiv is actually 214, not 208. Amar Nachmar Yitzhak, Veroiv Ksib, but without the Vav. So Veroiv without a Vav is Vav, Reish Vav. Vase, which is 208. Okay, let's do a quick chazara. We started with the Nevi'im. Whenever we have the Navi and his father mentioned as well, that's an indication that they were both Nevi'im. We have a city mentioned, he came from there, otherwise he's from Yerushalayim. Who is Malachi? One pshat says he's Mordechai. Other pshat says Ezra. Other pshat says Malachi is just Malachi. We learned about the mysterious nefesh of Esther. We learned about the value of a brach or, conversely, a klal, even coming from an hedyot. Haman was an eved of Mordechai. Klal Yisrael's schar l'asad love is based on their being oisek b'toyr. We learned about the three malachim who accompanied Esther, one of them stretching that scepter so she could reach it. And we learned the many reasons for inviting Haman to the meal, which were all confirmed by Eliyahu Navi. Maybe all bizoicha to b'suras tevis. Amongst ourselves and Klal Yisrael, Merav Yemein Amin.